76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. We'll be with you the next couple of hours talking sports and more here on the Big Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, Tide109.com. And remember, download that Tide109 app. Take us with you anywhere, anytime. And a lot of people listen on the app. I've had a lot of people that have been messaging me saying, man, I love being able to listen to you guys no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing. Just download that app to your phone or your wireless device and you've got us. And all of our shows, all of our great local sports talk shows here in Tuscaloosa available to you. So a lot of people are also watching my Football Friday show on Friday nights on the WVUA 23 app. So it's a way that you can have local Tuscaloosa sports come into your home, even if you're hundreds or even thousands of miles away. So these apps are great stuff. There's no doubt about that. All right, we got a good show on tap. I'm going to tell you all about it here in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, Alabama Credit Union is a top-rated local credit union with 38 locations across Alabama and one branch in Northwest Florida. We're ready to serve you, and serve you they do. It's just such a better way of banking. And if you have not ever considered joining Alabama Credit Union, you should. You can find out a lot more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, or stop by and see them, as I said, at one of their 38 locations around Alabama and one in Northwest Florida. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. Also, today, we're going to hear from Ryan Williams, Alabama's great dynamic wide receiver. I think he's arguably as talented. I know, you know, Ryan Smith or Smith up at Ohio State. What's his first name? Jerome? Is it Jerome Smith?
My mind just Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah Smith. There we go. Thanks for helping me out, Chase. Jeremiah Smith is certainly an incredible player, but as far as just pure talent at the wide receiver position, I'm not sure there's anybody better than Ryan Williams. But he has had problems with drops. He addressed that yesterday in his after-practice press briefing, and we'll have that for you as he talks about how hard he's working to alleviate those drops. Right now, he has had he's tied for the most drops in the country this season. But listen, I still wouldn't trade him for anybody. He makes incredible catches. He's just, you know, had a couple balls that have, you know, hit him right in the hands that people are concerned about. But we'll hear from Ryan Williams. Also at 9:30, Matt Coulter on NASCAR. 10:30, Larry the Music Man. In the Larry the Music Man segment today, we're going to feature a special guest that I think is going to excite a lot of people that are Southern Rock fans in regards to Lynyrd Skynyrd, because Craig Reed was a guitar tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd from 73 to 77. He was on the plane when it crashed. He's going to be on to talk about that. He also was on tours for Foreigner and Journey. So this guy's got quite a record and quite a, you know, history in rock and roll, and he's going to be with us at 10:30 for the Larry the Music Man segment. As I said, we're going to get to some Ryan Williams audio this morning, the Alabama wide receiver, and also Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri head coach. He doesn't hold his press conference on Monday. He holds his on Tuesday. So he had his weekly press conference yesterday and talked a lot about Alabama. And, boy, he was gushing a little bit. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. He was going on and on and on about how great Alabama is. But we'll hear from Eli Drinkwitz this morning as well. Also, this note, the Yankees came back last night after being down 2-0. And on the brink of elimination, they fell behind Toronto in this game, and it looked like, honestly, it was going to be over. They fell behind 6-1. to the Blue Jays at Yankee Stadium and storm back. Give the Yankees credit. They not only won the game, they wound up winning the game 9-6. Aaron Judge, for as great as he is, has not been great in the postseason, but he had a big game last night. He stepped up, went 3-for-4, scored 3 runs, had 4 runs batted in, had a home run. That's the key for them. You know, your best players have to play great in the postseason. And he had had 2 very poor games at Toronto, but came up big. So the Yankees, they survived to play another day, still down 2-1, but they'll get an opportunity to push that game to a fifth, push that series to a fifth game if they can win game 4. Also last night, you had the Mariners beating the Tigers 8-4 to go up 2-1 in that AL divisional series. So we got a lot to cover this morning. Going to have a lot of fun. Your phone calls, as I said, are welcome on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. And that's where we're going to go right now. Our pal Corey over in Trustful is going to lead us off this morning. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
I'm still nervous about this Missouri game. I'm still trying to figure out how we can slow down this Ahmad Hardy, because if he gets going, they can do whatever they want offensively. And I mean, it kind of reminds me, I know he's not nearly as talented, but he kind of reminds me of a Derrick Henry. I mean, just freight train that gets going and can break tackles, can catch out of the backfield. I mean, he's probably not as big as Derrick Henry, but just a guy that gets going, he's unstoppable. But if we just hit him and blow him down, I mean, you have to wonder if, you know, I hope that Alabama's focus is not just to stop him, because they have other weapons too. But I'm sure that's priority number one, is to stop him, but because they got receivers too. But I just hope that we just don't solely, like 99%, stop him, because they have receivers too, and they're going to use all their weapons too.
Yeah, they're a good offense, and they do have receivers, and they've got another back that's really good, and Prabilla, the quarterback's playing well. But it all starts with Ahmad Hardy. I mean, that's the thing, is Missouri wants to run the football, and he is really good. He is a different kind of back than Derrick Henry. He's only like 5'10", 5'11", 210 pounds in that range, but he is very, very powerful, makes a lot of people miss. Most of his yards come after contact. He's averaging 7.1 yards per carry. He's got 9 touchdowns. So I understand what you're saying about other people can hurt you, but you have to start with the idea that you've got to slow him down. You can't let him, you know, you can't let him go off on you for 200 yards. If you do, they're probably going to win the game. So that's where it starts defensively. But yes, they've got other weapons. They're averaging 45 points a game. You know, they can score. I mean, they've been prolific on offense. So I'm with you. You should be nervous. They're a good team. They're at home. They're coming off a bye. They're well coached. So, yeah, there's reason to be concerned. But at the same time, Alabama, you know, if you can go into Athens and beat a team that won 33 straight home games, and you know, you can go into Mizzou and win. You know, you can go to Froth Field and you can get a victory. So that's got to be the focus for Alabama. And I know that they're confident that if they play well and they take care of their business, that they can win the game.
I'm looking at these other SEC games, and there's some upset to be had. I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn makes it interesting, being at night against Georgia. Now, I think Georgia will win, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is close. Red River, if John Mateer plays, now, I don't think he should play, being back this early. But if he does play, I think Oklahoma will win. If he doesn't play, I could see Texas winning this game with their defense, though. Either way, I think that'll be a very low-scoring game. Both teams have good defenses. Arkansas, Tennessee, I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas pulls off the upset, because Bobby Petrino is a really good offensive mind. Even though Arkansas's defense is not good at all, Bobby Petrino did fire the defensive coordinator, but I still that could be a shootout. I could see that being a shootout. Florida, Texas A&M. I'll go with A&M on that one. South Carolina, LSU. That could that could be closer than what the fans want it to be. Even though I think LSU will be able to win at home, but there are some potential games that are closer than what the fans may want it to be.
Yeah, it's a pretty good recap there, and it's a great schedule this weekend. Only thing I'll say on Arkansas is they did fire Travis Williams. Petrino did the defensive coordinator, a couple other defensive coaches, so they're going to be using, you know, some analysts and GAs and that type of thing to coach their defense. And everybody keeps talking about what a great offensive mind Bobby Petrino is, and he is. But he's been in charge of the offense. I mean, he's been running the offense. Sam Pittman hadn't been telling him what plays to call or run. So I don't know, you know, what boost they're going to get offensively just because he's now the head coach. I mean, he's been running the offense and calling the plays for the offense. So I don't think anything's going to change on that side of the ball. And I think it's going to be difficult to ask them to improve on defense when you just fired half the staff. So I don't know. I mean, Tennessee is an 11.5-point favorite in that game in Knoxville. I don't think that Arkansas, I mean, this is my opinion, I don't think just because Bobby Petrino now is the interim head coach that they're suddenly going to be a different team. But we'll see, Corey. So, all right, pal, I got to get to the break. Good stuff, man.
Good talk to you here. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Corey. All right, we're off and running here. It's 9:16 in Tuscaloosa. The Gary Harris Show will continue, and we'll take a phone call from Steve in Tuscaloosa when we come back on the other side. 205-342-9904 if you want to join the program. Matt Coulter on NASCAR coming up at 9:30. Larry the Music Man with Craig Reed, guitar tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd, also on tours with Foreigner and Journey, is going to join us to talk some rock and roll. That ought to be interesting for sure. Look forward to that as well. Also, we'll hear from Ryan Williams, and we're going to try to get Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri head coach, on as well. So he had a lot to say about the Crimson Tide, obviously, yesterday in his weekly press conference. So we're off and running on the Gary Harris Show. We'll be right back on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Despite the government shutdown caused air traffic control shortages at major airports across the country, Birmingham Shuttlesworth International reporting no significant issues this morning. Most arriving flights are on time or even early. Only one departure, a 10:58 flight to Dallas, is listed as delayed. They're having major air traffic control problems in the Dallas area. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three Special. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., get a meat and three vegetables for just $8.49. Or for a lighter appetite, try the Lucky Lunch Soup, Salad, or Sandwich Combo. I'll see you at the Free. Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:21. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're going to jump right back out on the hotline here in just a second. This is something that you don't see that often. Former players, a lot of whom have been in the NFL, I know they help out their programs, but you don't see a gift of this size. But Stanford is really lagging behind. And they've got Andrew Luck as their general manager out there. But a former player gave them a $50 million gift. It's the largest individual gift in program history, and it's not tied to any type of facility or anything like that. In other words, it's just $50 million to do with what you need to do with it. It comes from former Stanford football player Bradford M. Freeman, who graduated from the school back in 1964 which means he's probably going to be, you know, 83 years old or so. But he's been a big Stanford donor for decades. But still, to give $50 million to your school with no, you know, catches. It's just $50 million. That's pretty cool. That'll help out Stanford a lot. All right, let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and welcome in Steve to the program. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gary. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I really am glad you said, first of all, glad you said what you said about this Bobby Petrino thing, because that's exactly what I thought. I talked to people and they're going, well, Arkansas they're going to elevate their play now, and I'm going, well, how? Why? It's like you said, Petrino's been doing it, and they are what they are. So, and I don't get what all the excitement is about it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I think it's the lightning in the bottle deal, you know, because he was, you know, they were a top five program when he, you know, when his stuff happened back. But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me, Steve, that it shows you in college sports, really, at the end of the day, there is no shame. People want to win. For this guy to even be in this position after the way he embarrassed that university, lied, had to be fired, and now be back as the interim head coach and have a lot of their fans wanting to be the permanent head coach, it just goes to show you, man. All this talk about, you know, institutions of higher learning, and I shouldn't be this callous, I guess, but these athletic programs, they want to win, and you know, they'll usually do what it takes to win. And you know, you're seeing it now even at Vanderbilt. So you know, the holier than thou type of attitude that some of these places take, I'm not a big fan of it.
No, I'm not either. But listen, the main reason I was calling, Gary, I haven't been able to keep up with it like I wanted to, but and you may not know much either, but I was just wondering about John Metchie. How is he fitting in with Philadelphia these days?
I know they like him. I know the Texans like him too. I mean, he's a great, great person in addition to being a good wide receiver. You know, their issue right now in Philadelphia is you've got Devontae Smith, you've got A.J. Brown, so you got two really star wide receivers. And right now the Eagles, because of their run game, because of the way they play, you know, the ball is not being spread around enough for their liking to begin with. So then you're talking about other wide receivers trying to get in the mix. And I'd say he's probably, you know, you also got Dotson at wide receiver there. So I'm thinking he's probably that fourth or fifth wide receiver. So it's you know, a little tough for him right now to get the number of snaps and opportunities probably that he would like. But, you know, from what I've read, and I follow the Eagles pretty closely because they got so many Alabama players on their team, they like him a lot and you know, think that he can, you know, is a good addition to their team. But trying to find that, you know, getting that rotation and start getting some catches, I don't know where they stand with him right now with that.
Did you like that trade?
Well, I was hoping that, you know, there'd be opportunities with him there with the Texans. But certainly from a standpoint of trying to win a Super Bowl as a player, you know, he's on a team now that can do it. And, I have confidence the Eagles will figure it out. They usually do. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is one of those guys that he puts a priority on winning. But he seems to be able to do whatever he needs to do as a quarterback to get their team going. So they're coming off that disappointing loss to the Broncos. So I think once Metch gets out there and, you know, they get their offense in sync a little bit, he'll be a good addition for them. I do believe that.
Well, when I first heard about it, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, they've had all the A.J. Brown they can stand. But clearly that's not the case.
Well, again, you know, talent usually trumps – you know, other stuff. So that's
right.
Just the way it is.
All right, Gary. Appreciate your time, bud.
Thank you, Steve. Good to hear from you. All right, let's talk to Tom. Hey, Tom.
Gary, you and Steve nailed my subject of call-in. Steve reads my mail every time he calls in. And if I'm behind him, you always ask what I got on my mind.
Really?
First.
How about that?
And I'm damn tired of it.
And, well, you better call him, beat him in, and get ahead of him.
I was just joking, but I agree with what y'all saying about Petrino. That's the reason I was calling in. You know, he had a team at Arkansas that had those great wide receivers. You remember them?
Yeah, they were good.
They were going to kill everybody till Alabama rolled in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Ever since then, his offensive proudness has not been very good. And matter of fact, his offense is antiquated, comparatively speaking. Here's a point of example. Remember when Jimbo went to Texas A&M? He's an offensive genius. And they started to get ready to use him as kindling for that big bonfire because guess what? He didn't have any offense. So these people that run those type of offenses, they're outdated. They don't work as well anymore. And like you and Steve said, hell, he's been there 2 years. What's he been waiting on?
I guess he was waiting on Pittman to get fired. Maybe that's why Arkansas people are so happy. Maybe they feel like Petrino's been holding back until he got the head job. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what they do on. And listen, do I think their defense was playing well? Heck, no. They were horrible against Notre Dame. Having said that, when you fire the defensive coordinators and two assistants, you know you're scrambling for a staff. So I can't imagine that they're going to get better on defense. Who knows? Maybe they will. Maybe they'll get a little juice from Petrino. We'll see. My gut tells me that Tennessee's going to wind up winning that game going away, but we'll find out.
Oh, I agree. I think Tennessee they'll lap them. To use the NASCAR.
Yeah,
thanks, Gary. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Tom. Steve. All right, always a pleasure to hear from the sheriff. All right, 9:29 here on the Gary Harris Show. And the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. It's where I work out. Why don't you join me? I've been there for over 20 years in the location now that, I keep saying new location. It's like 10 years old, but the 2300 13th Street downtown location, beautiful facility. They've got those two new lighted outdoor pickleball courts, great wellness area. They've got the classrooms for fitness classes. They can help you with your daycare, silver sneakers program for seniors. Man, they got it all. They really do. So go by and visit the Y. Let them show you around. Or give them a call to set up an appointment to go by 205-345-9622 or find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. We'll be back with Matt Coulter on NASCAR next year on the Gary Harris Show.
Learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Driving as fast as it can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago, somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns.
All right, 9:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Time for Matt Coulter on NASCAR. And Matt just keeps on rolling. He picked up his ninth. Think about this, folks, to pick, I was bragging last year with, I think I had 7 winners for the entire season. Matt's got 9 winners that he's predicted correctly, and we've still got 4 races to go. The latest being the Bank of America Roval 400 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Now, this is kind of a layup. When you have the first pick and it's a Roval, you're going to pick Shane Van Giesbergen.
Yeah.
So I give Matt credit, but it just, but at the same time, because you and I said last week, we prefer if you're going to run a race at Charlotte, you run it on the speedway. But SVG's got no complaints. He did it again. And when it was all said and done, he wound up winning this thing by, 20-something seconds, Matt? I mean, it's just he's got him covered.
Yeah, we've talked about this. I guess it's just he can shift better and knows when to brake. You know, I can remember back in the days when Ricky Rudd was probably the best road course driver out there, and they put a camera on his feet and watched the way he operated. Of course, back then they had a clutch. Now they have paddles. But it was kind of magical the way he would work his feet between the gas and the brake and the clutch and downshifting and so forth. But I've never seen it to where somebody was this dominant. It, and I don't, maybe this sounds petty, it doesn't seem fair.
It almost doesn't at this point.
Better.
But you know what? The other drivers and these other teams and all the research and development they do, they're going to have to because there's enough of these races now that you got now not just two of them. I mean, they're, you know, they crop up every, it seems like every five or six weeks. Yeah, that, right.
In fact, to our credit, we've picked him every time.
Well, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, while he's trying to figure out a way to be, you know, more competitive on the other tracks, everybody else in those garages is trying to figure out a way to beat this guy. And right now, Matt, there are no answers. I mean, there's just no answers for SVG on any type of road course or oval. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And I think we also, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone, just putting all the credit on SVG. But somebody in that shop knows how to set up a road course car, too, now.
Oh, yeah.
You got to give him the equipment in order to win all five of these races. So, you know, it's not, when they're in the garage, they're doing research and development, but they're also trying to figure out what the driver's doing, too. So.
Yeah. Of course, I'm sure he helps with, you know, his experience. I'm sure he helps with the setup. I'm sure he's, you know, he knows what he wants to be effective. But
I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in NASCAR.
No, no, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I did tell Ragged Glory that he could jump on with you here in a few minutes to ask you a question about the road courses. But we're going to wait on that because Chase has stepped out for a second, and I don't want to cut anybody off here. But I do want to ask you about the drama, though. There was drama at this, you know, and people can go back and forth on whether they like this system or the old whatever. But, man, that was exciting coming down the stretch with Chastain trying to hold off Logano. And, you know, I think you and I have probably felt this way for a while, that Paul Wolf is probably one of the top three or four crew chiefs in the business. Really? And for him to understand that Chastain's faster than us to begin with, you know, if we stay out, we're not going to care. We might as well come in and put new tires on. And they came in and put those new tires on, which put them way behind. But those new tires, helped out by a couple mistakes by Ross Chastain, allowed Logano to do it again. I mean, he's the Dracula of NASCAR. I mean, you got to put a stake through this guy's heart. I mean, you know, 15 laps to go, it looked like there was no way in the world that he was going to advance. And they put those tires on. He did his job driving the car. Chastain felt the pressure, made a couple mistakes. Then there at the end, got tied up with Hamlin. And next thing you know, the 22's on to Las Vegas in the top eight. What did you make of it, Matt?
I just think that we often, as I referred to just a minute ago, focus on the driver's doing it all. But this really is a team sport. And Wolf made a hell of a call. I mean, what else?
It sure was. Gutsy call. Because if it didn't work, he was going to get cooked.
And the thing about it is that, you know, Logano's very headstrong. He had to believe in what his crew chief was saying. And lo and behold, as I read a title, doing a little research last night, I said, Logano's the last one the other seven wanted in, you know? But he made it in. Great call, great teamwork. And Logano's going to be up on the wheel for the next three races at least. I wouldn't be surprised if he was there for the fourth. But anyway, you talked about it perfectly. It was just a gutsy call.
It really was, because once they came in, as I said, on paper, if you just looked at where he was at, where the 22 was at, and where the one was at, you would have said, there's no way. There is no way. But then as you're watching, and these are long laps now at the Roval, but you see Joey just getting closer and closer and closer. And listen, Chastain is a likable dude. I mean, I've had him on my show. He shoots straight with you. Afterwards, I mean, he put the blame on himself. You know, he overshot the coming out of the pit one time, and he had a couple other mistakes. And then at the end, you know, he and the 11, because, you know, the one was trying to get there, so they get tied up. But without him making mistakes, it would not have mattered what the 22 did. But as you said, that's part of it. And you know, but Chastain, I assume, will learn from it. But that's a big blow. I mean, what you get in terms of your sponsors, in terms of your team and the season, you get a lot more when you advance to the round of eight than if you don't. And that was costly for that team.
That's a great point. And then to top it all off, I mean, you mentioned he made numerous mistakes. But you'd have to give him an A-plus for trying, man. But he tried too hard. He tried to do too much with the car, and it was a good car, no question. But that led to his falling to ninth, and Logano ends up making the field of eight. And then to top it all off, he did a Ricky Bobby at the end. I thought that was kind of funny.
He sure did. We had two cars that crossed the fit. Who was the other? There's one more that did cross backwards.
I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
But you know what? What I thought was interesting is that pretty soon after the race, Denny Hamlin's not one to mince words, and neither is Ross Chastain. But there they were standing there at the track somewhere along the pit road area talking to each other. Because, I mean, good grief, the one just smashed into the 11. And that's not the kind of stuff that Denny Hamlin likes. But cooler heads prevailed, and, hey, let's go to Vegas.
Let's go to Vegas. And it is the South Point 400. And before we go to Vegas, you got to give us the track report. We got to make our picks.
Sure.
Go ahead and punch Ragged Glory through because he does have a Roval and road course question. I told him he could call in. Hey, go ahead, Ragged Glory.
Hey, you know what? Thanks, Gary. I appreciate that. Hey, Matt, long time no talk to.
Hey, Ragged Glory, how you doing?
Man, I'm actually doing all right. And, congratulations on SVG. I got to bow. Man, never wanted him. I never thought he could sling a 3,500-pound NASCAR over the road courses.
Yeah.
But you know what? Kudos to him. What I would like to ask is a little bit of NASCAR history, because I go way back. I remember when road courses were two, maybe three. The Riverside Raceway, California.
Okay. Right.
Oh, man. That was considered a road course, even with the long, long back stretch there. But then it came down through a bunch of S's. I was there for two races and cried my eyes out when Bill Elliott had a transmission problem and took him out of the championship to lose to Darrell Waltrip. But what I would like to ask you is, I remember Riverside, I remember Sears Point, which I think then became Sonoma, and then also an addition of Watkins Glen coming into road courses in NASCAR. My question to you is, do you remember if there was any one driver that actually won all three or two or three of the road courses in one season?
Wow. Boy, that's a great trivia question. My guess would have been the driver I referred to a little while ago, and that's Ricky Rudd.
You did bring him up. And he was awesome, too. But I just don't know. I haven't had time to research it all. Because now we're up to, what, five road courses a year.
Yeah,
but I just wanted to go back and see if anybody in history swept any of the road courses as well.
Well, I would take a little bit of research, and now that you've mentioned it, I would really love to know. We'll spend the rest of the day trying to find out. But my guess would be Rudd. I think I would be okay if they went back to just, Riverside's not there. They don't race there.
No.
If they went back to Riverside and Watkins Glen, I'd be fine with that.
Correct. And even, well, we all know Sonoma's not going away anytime too soon either.
No.
But it was, to me, Riverside, Sears Point that bled over, then became Sonoma and being Watkins Glen. So I was just curious if we knew.
Let me test your memory here. Riverside at one time, wasn't it the last race of the year?
It was, because that I was at the race when Bill Elliott lost the championship to Darrell Waltrip. I think it was 84, because then they tore the track down. talk about breaking my heart, because I was living in Redlands, which is 30 minutes away from the track. You know, oh my goodness gracious. But that's right, going back a ways.
It is. Raggy Glory, hello to your family, and appreciate you calling in as always.
I appreciate you guys. I can't wait to hear your picks for Las Vegas. You already know who I am going for.
Yeah, I know. I know you're going. You're going for Chase. All right, thank you, Raggy Glory. All right, Matt, we go to Las Vegas, and I get the first pick. But first, you got to give us the track report.
It's a mile and a half. It's asphalt. It's been raced in NASCAR. I think it was built in 71, but the first NASCAR race was in 99. And I think Jeff Gordon won it, but I'd have to check my facts on that. But, see, 20-degree bankings in both 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and then simple 9-degree banking on both the front and the back straightaway. And it has long been heralded. The drivers love it. The Bushes used to win there a lot, Kurt and Rowdy, but I don't think either one of them's going. Of course, Kurt didn't, but that's the track setup, and it's a later afternoon race. I think it starts at 4:30, so remember that, too.
All right, I get the first pick, and it does start at 4:30, Matt. Good call. I need a win. Listen, now, listen, as we say in sports, I've been mathematically eliminated from our competition. You're up 9-2. There's not enough races left for me to come back and have a win. But, you know, I'm still competing. So I've looked at it, and you know, we all have guys that we like. I'm not a Kyle Larson fan. I can't help it. I know he's a good driver. I just, you know, that little, you know, I guess for a lot of the reasons that people don't like Logano, you know, he just comes across as a little whiny to me. But he's a heck of a driver. They're at Las Vegas. He's got a great track record here. Great organization. Needs a win. I'm gonna take Kyle Larson.
Oh, well, he is on the board. He's chalk. As you know, and I think you may look it up too.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. He's the favorite, like, but in this case, I really think, and you know, and again, that's why these are hard to pick. But I think he's going to win the race.
I don't think it'll surprise you, but I think he's like the eighth or ninth best in the odds. But I got a feeling about Logano.
He did it last year. And I thought the same thing. And I almost took the 22 for that reason. But I said, just no way he's going to do it 2 years in a row. No way is he going to slide in and win the championship like this 2 years in a row. But
you know. Well, my factor also in picking him is the his four wins there. It is the most wins. That's right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and you know what? It's your year. You have smoked me, so I'm already regretting that I didn't take the 22.
well, we'll see. I hope people understand this. I know Raggy Glory does, but picking SVG this year is an absolute, the definition of a no-brainer. But even when you've got a guy that's odds-on favorite like Kyle Larson, these are tough to pick, you know? I can't believe I have 9 picks. That's just ridiculous. But last year, you bumped me 7-2, so I guess I kind of owed you one.
Yeah, but you're having an unbelievable year. Like I said, if you win this one, to get to 10 wins predicting races, that would be incredible. Hey, you called me back last night. I had called you, and I remember why I called you. What time was it? And not that you haven't done this before, but with it being an 11 a.m. kick, what time does your pregame show start Saturday?
6 in the morning.
Okay, that's what I was figuring. So y'all go 6 to 8.
Yeah, I tell you, and that's okay because you get to the game and you can relax the rest of the day. But the real bummers are the one like we'll have the weekend of Talladega, and that's when we go on the air like 11:30 at night for the post game. So it's okay. It's great because I love being a part of the Town Square broadcast and Look forward to doing them every Saturday. It's good to be, you know, it's good to be a part of Alabama football again. And y'all have offered me the opportunity here for now 4 years with wheels running. And I enjoy that. But you're right, we do get up and go early.
Well, it'll be fun. So, folks, listen, join Matt for the pregame show prior to the Crimson Tide Sports Network coverage at 6 a.m. Saturday. So get up early. It's going to be a beautiful Saturday morning. Turn on the radio and listen to the pregame show here on Tide and the Bear. All right, Matt, we're ready to go for Vegas. And
yeah, we are. Just real quick, we lost two of the really, really good men.
Yeah, I got to point this out. Absolutely. Go ahead.
And, we lost Grant Lynch, who I worked with for off and on for 40 years. And then we lost the guy that is the heart and soul of Southeastern Conference. And, I can't believe my name is escaping me.
Mark Womack.
What?
Mark Womack.
Yes. He was just 70, died way too early. But he was a class act, and I know we've had a lot of great commissioners from when I got in Boyd McWhorter to now with Greg Sankey. But he was kind of behind the scenes, wouldn't you say? But he knew all the ins and outs and everything, and he was he was the heartbeat of the SEC. So to both the Lynch and, this is a sad time for them. And, Gary, I was just so happy to have been around them and worked with them.
Well said, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you. See y'all. Bye-bye.
All right, 9:51 here on the Gary Harris Show. We're going to take a timeout and come back and wrap up this first hour. The Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. We'll be back after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, one day closer to Alabama and the Missouri Tigers. We'll continue that breakdown. We'll talk to Aaron Torres with Fox Sports. We'll also have a chance to talk with Max Chadwick from ProFootballFocus.com as we look ahead to the big game. We'll continue with a Southern L House score prediction day, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
From 7 to 8 Central on Tide100.9.com and TiderInsider.com and all your social media platforms for Inside the Trenches.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
Floors to Go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today with only a small chance of a shower, the high 84. Tonight fair with the low at 61. Tomorrow partly sunny and cooler, the high 77. And a beautiful day on Friday, the sky sunny, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
On 9:56, that hour flew right by. And our thanks to Matt Coulter, as always, for jumping on with us. Second hour is on the way. Larry the Music Man, going to feature Craig Reed, former guitar tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd. Wow, that ought to be interesting. And it was on the plane when it crashed in Mississippi on the way to a show. And killed Ronnie Van Zant, Steve Gaines, Cassie Gaines, and changed Southern rock and roll history forever. So that'll be an interesting discussion. Also, we'll have time for more of your phone calls, and I want to get some of the sound, if I can, from Ryan Williams and from Eli Drinkwitz in the second hour. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the first hour. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. Find out more at alabamacu.com. Another hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports. Maybe I will.
Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC, W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 460. That's 460. That code again is 460.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Aaron Judge at Yankee Stadium had three hits, four RBIs to lead the comeback over Toronto 9-6. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays had homered for a third straight game, helped get him an early 6-1 lead against starter Carlos Rodon, but Judge tied it in the fourth 6-6 with a three-run homer off the left field pole. The Yankees went on to victory. They're still alive. Blue Jays lead the best-of-five division series 2-1. Seattle's up 2-1 after a win at Detroit 8-4. It was 8-1 in the ninth. That game was on FS2 after about a three-hour rain delay at the start. Game 4 is on FS1 Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and then a Game 4 with Toronto at the Yankees Wednesday night. The Bengals acquired quarterback Joe Flacco from Cleveland. Jacksonville tight end Brenton Strange is on IR with a quad injury. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones was fined $250,000 for a gesture to fans.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM at 1230 AM WTBC. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you. And if you want to join us on the program, the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. Right now, while we have an opportunity, if we get some phone calls, obviously we will take those. But we have a chance here to get to Ryan Williams, the Alabama outstanding sophomore wide receiver from Saraland High School. As I said earlier, one of the most dynamic players in the country. And the catches that he makes... he makes some unbelievable catches. You know, he does. I mean, catches with, you know, spinning, pirouettes. So, you know, the talent is undeniable in the big plays that he's made. The concern is that, you know, he's had some drops. And even going back to last year. But this year, he's dropped some balls, too, that were for touchdowns right in his hands. One against Wisconsin and one against Georgia. But he, listen. He's working on it. And anyway, not just about that, but he met with reporters yesterday following practice, and here's Ryan Williams, Alabama's outstanding sophomore wide receiver, meeting with reporters on Tuesday.
I mean, in the moment, it was just, I was just glad, you know, we were able to continue to move the ball, and I was mostly focused on the drive. You know, it's a part of football, whether they give me the call or not, it is what it is, but really just trying to do what's best for the team and just keep going with the drive, so it's fine. Really just, I mean, just trying to do his best for the team because, you know, every ball that goes in the air, of course, you know, I'm going to try to make that play for my quarterback, for my teammates. So really just focusing on being in the moment and really just trying to focus on the ball instead of, like, what my next move is.
What are you doing to try and eliminate some of the drops?
Really just continuing to, you know, stay on the jugs machine, continue to do the extra stuff, catching rugby balls, tennis balls, you know, just focusing in on the ball and not the next move, like I said, because, you know, trying to be the receiver that I want to be, I have to catch the ball before I can do all the extra stuff.
Is it just a mental thing? Because, I mean, we just talked about how you were making these great catches. Like, is it purely mental on that side?
1,000%, yeah.
What sort of things is Shep talking to you about?
Really just catching the fat of the ball, focusing in on the ball, because, you know, I can't do anything without it. So, you know, just catching it first.
So what are you doing?
It's a child's game, so it's really simple. Really, just literally just looking the ball all the way to the tuck. I mean, that's pretty much all I can do.
Have you talked with maybe, is there anybody like that's dealt with it before? I'm sure you've got a whole network of people that you talk with. Have you reached out to anybody that maybe has had those kind of problems?
Nah, really just trying to focus on myself and, you know, just really just eliminate the problem. Just focusing in on that week. I mean, we know we have a pretty tough schedule up ahead, but I mean, we got to focus in on today's Tuesday practice and how we can get better today, how we can get better tomorrow, Wednesday, you know, just focusing in on where our feet are.
What do you see from Missouri's offense?
Super explosive offense, 500 yards. Their defense is really good as well. They play great team ball. They have the longest time of possession in the SEC. So, you know, just understanding that when we get on the field, we got to maximize that time because, I mean, they're going to run their offense. So, really just trying to take advantage whenever we're on the field.
What's it like being a receiver when Ty's kind of seeing things? Like that last drive before the half where he's just pretty much automatic. What's it like as a receiver knowing that your quarterback's just seeing the field?
Really just a blessing, you know, to have a guy that, you know, you know, when the bullet's flying, when in the heat of the moment, he's calm and, you know, just understanding I got to make the play for him so we can keep it going because I know he's going to be hot.
What's been working so well with that
offense? Definitely we've been focusing on it every week during practice and, you know, just being ready and when those moments come because, you know, it's easy to, like, not take advantage of the moment, but whenever you do it week in and week out, you know, it's automatic pretty much.
What have you seen from Missouri's defensive backs?
Really some they play well in the defensive scheme, so you know they're physical guys, they're gonna do their job and they're gonna come up and tackle. They play well in their system.
Is there a specific DB that stands out?
All of them are very good, you know, and they play well as a group. Definitely 1,000%. We definitely got, we might have more than two receiver ones, if I'm being honest. And really just feeding off of each other. And if one's down, the other one's up, you know, just continuing to. And then when we're both hot, you know, you see what that could be this past weekend. But it's really just, it's awesome to have a guy, you know, that I can depend on week in and week out. I mean, he's just a dog. You can put him anywhere on the field and he's going to get the job done. So, yeah.
What do you think his
hands?
You guys have talked about it all?
I mean, he told me he had better hands than me. And, I mean, he 100% on the catch ratio, so he might.
Last call for Ryan.
What are you looking to improve on these next few weeks compared to last
week? Really just eliminating the drops and doing what's best for the squad so we can get more W's. I appreciate y'all. Real talk.
All right, Ryan Williams. You got to hear his comments and answers. Couldn't hear the questions too clearly because he's at a mic and the reporters are not on a mic. But, again, I wanted to play that for you to hear his, you know, his personality. It's positive. He's a really likable and engaging person. So, And he cares. And again, I think, Chase, you have to keep it in context. You're talking about an uber-talented player here. You're talking about a guy that has special talent. So what happens is you see these plays that he makes that most receivers can't make. They don't have that ability, that God-given talent. You know, the play last year against Georgia, I mean, when Milroe threw it up and he caught it, and it was almost like he was in the Matrix. He was just kind of suspended. You know, people running past him, and he was, you know, it was just unbelievable. And, you know, you see those type of plays. So the expectation is that how in the world can you be that incredibly talented and make some of these plays and then drop balls that hit you right in the hands? We saw one last year in the Iron Bowl that Milroe threw him. We saw the one, you know, we saw a couple drops in the Florida State game. We saw the touchdown drop against Wisconsin. We saw the drop against Georgia on that first possession that couldn't have thrown the ball any better. And so I think it's like, how do you make some of these plays that you make? And then, because that's the way life is, it's like think about even as you, as a person, and, you know, I'm a fairly athletic person. I'm not trying to brag. I just am. I've got a good hand-eye coordination. You know, I'm a pretty good athlete. But, you know, you can be playing tennis or basketball, whatever, and, you know, make some incredible shots or passes or whatever, and then, you know, somebody might toss you a, you know, just a ball playing toss, and you might drop it, you know? And it doesn't mean that you don't have the athletic ability or the talent or the hand-eye coordination. It just sometimes it happens. You're not as focused as you might be. So I think he said yesterday that for him it could be a mental type of thing. But I guarantee he's working, as he said, to alleviate the problem. And his season's off to a good start. I think he's only going to get better. You've got him for two, you know, this season and next, hopefully, you know, assuming he doesn't get in the transfer portal, and I don't see why in the world he would with the situation that he's got here. So I'm expecting big things for Ryan Williams the rest of the season. All right, let's jump back out on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904 and welcome in JR. Hey, JR.
Hey, Gary. How you doing today?
Doing well, my friend.
I was just listening, yes, to Ryan Williams. And it does sound like he's putting more emphasis and more concentration on catching the ball first. And that maybe probably is something he recognized in himself, that he was looking ahead. That's why he was dropping the balls. And he did one this year, I'm sure, I remember. But he hadn't really dropped any since that first one. It was a touchdown play. He dropped, has he?
He didn't drop any against Southern Miss, no. But he dropped... He's tied for the lead in the nation in drops per game. So he dropped three against Florida State. You know, he didn't play in the Louisiana Monroe game. Then he had the I can't recount every one of them, but I know
I got you.
But he's had a problem dropping the football.
Well, I'm glad he's working on that. And he's trying to concentrate on catching the ball. I heard him when he said, you know, can't do anything with it, can't do anything unless he's got the ball.
That's right. And I think sometimes that happens with these guys too. As I was discussing, when you're as talented as he is, what can happen so often, JR, is that his mind is ahead of the football. In other words, he sees the ball and he's already thinking about what he's going to do when he catches it. I think that's how he processes things. I think when you're that talented, you're already a step ahead. So sometimes, you know, you might see the ball, but you're all corner of your eye, you're already looking at what's ahead of you on the field so that you can make that move that you need to make. And maybe you take your eye off the ball for a split second and you drop it. But yeah, he's going to be fine. He's too good. He's too good not to get this fixed.
I believe he will. And I was just wondering about Ty Simpson. I mean, is he sophomore this year or what, junior?
He is a redshirt junior. This is his fourth year in the program, but he's a redshirt junior. But he does have one more year of eligibility after this season if he were, you know, choose to take it.
That's good. Hopefully he will, but he might not.
Well, if he's projected, if he's projected to be a first rounder, and some of these mocks are now putting him in the first round, then he might have to go ahead and go. Yeah, I think he could become a Heisman candidate. Sure, why not? I mean, the way he's playing, and the fact that there's not a through 5-6 weeks, there's not that one guy that you say, oh man, that's the Heisman favorite. It's wide open. So sure, I think Ty could get in the Heisman conversation.
Right. All right, I hadn't talked to you in a minute.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you always, JR. Absolutely.
And looking forward to this game coming up. And you don't have a prediction thing.
Yeah, I do. I did it last night on Tider Insider TV, so I don't mind telling you. As long as I got to give it on TITV first, but I picked it Alabama 35, Missouri 28.
Well, I predicted a 38-10.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're.
Well, I kind of feel like, you know, that Missouri's a little overrated because they just really, like we already made the point, that they haven't really played a whole lot of real competition yet. And I believe that we're going to exploit their weaknesses. And I believe we're going to score at will. And I really hope I could understand if they were able to do a little more to Alabama than that. But you know, maybe they might score more, but hopefully not.
Well, Bama fans like your prediction better than mine, so I hope you're right. And I mean, now listen, well, any win on the road in this league to me is a good win. But if they if they win 38-10, I guarantee you that'll get people's attention. Hey, great to hear from you, JR, as always, man.
All right, thanks, Gary.
Thank you very much. All right, 10:15 here on the Gary Harris Show, and lunch is right around the corner. And I would love for you to drop in if you want some good Mexican food to Las Tarascos. One location in Tuscaloosa, right here on Skyland Boulevard. The other on Highway 43 in Northport. Great service, great food, great prices, too. And, I mean, you can get a lot of food. They got lunch specials, and they're open 7 days a week. Bars, TVs, they got it all at Las Tarascos. Two locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport. All right, we're going to come back and take some more phone calls. If we have an opportunity, we may get to that Eli Drinkwitz audio. If not, that'll be okay as well. And Larry the Music Man coming up at 10:30. We'll be back after this.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox broke a 3-3 council tie vote to consider approval of job specifications for a controversial new executive-level public safety director. Despite government shutdown caused delays at major airport hubs across the country, Birmingham Shuttlesworth experiencing no issues. Jason Hare had only been on the job as Cordova police chief for 4 months. He resigned before leakage of a video showing improper actions between him and a woman. Mayor Jeremy Pate told news partner ABC 3340 he's shocked.
Totally blindsided by this whole deal.
Harold Cox is now the interim chief of that Walker County city. In the new prep football poll, TA is ranked 4th in 2A, Gordo 3rd in 3A, and 7-0 Northside 7th in 5A. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we're expanding to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com. I'm Don Hartley.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
Don't let high prices for electrical work scare you. Call or text us at Taylor Electrical, 205-553-0958.
Las Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Las Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Las Tarascos features daily
and options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today with only a small chance of a shower, the high 84. Tonight fair with the low at 61. Tomorrow partly sunny and cooler, the high 77. And a beautiful day on Friday, the sky sunny, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Ooh, Barracuda. All right, 10:20, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And you think Bama can still reel in the viewers? Chase, the ESPN College Game Day Week 6 episode from the Quad, the second most watched regular season episode of Game Day ever. How about that? How about that? Alabama Vanderbilt. And it speaks to Alabama's history and tradition, but also to just how big that game against Vanderbilt became. But that's wild that it's the second most watched episode ever during the regular season. So there you go. The Tide still rolls on the field and still rolls into the living rooms with people watching Game Day on TV. All right, let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. And Raggy Glory's back for another go-around. What's up, Raggy Glory?
Yeah, you know what? About Ryan Williams, you know, here's what I say. You got to feel the football. Lose the gloves. Everything I saw in slow motion replays and everything that he's dropped, you got to feel the football. I know his mind's racing and what he's going to do after it, but if you feel it, you got it. You can grab it. I don't care what your nails look like. Just feel the football. That's pretty much it, because back in the day, when there weren't any gloves, they were bare hands and a little bit of stickum. Try that for once. That's all I got to say about that.
All right. Thank you, Raggy Glory. Appreciate the phone call, my friend. Chase, clip that and send it over to the football building so that Ron Williams can Raggy Glory's got it. He's going to fix you right up, man. So take those gloves off. All right, 10:22. This is an opportunity to get to a little Eli Drinkwitz. We're not going to listen to all of it because it was a long press conference, but he's a talker now, and he said a lot about the Crimson Tide. This is the Missouri head coach from Tuesday up in Como talking about the upcoming game against Alabama.
Great work week last week with the players and the staff. Really had three goals focused on sharpening our edge, improvement, and recovery. And now really looking forward to moving on to Alabama, which is a really, really good football team and a very difficult test for us. I think Coach DeBoer has his team playing at an elite level. Obviously, now that his team and culture is really installed, you can see why he's one of the elite coaches within college football. He's got great assistants that have really established their identities in all three phases. I think, obviously, Coach Grubb on the offensive side of the ball, you can see his influence, the offensive dynamics, very explosive offensively, especially through the pass game. He really does a great job of utilizing formation in the boundary early in the game to dictate what you're going to be in from a play caller standpoint, and then knows how to attack those coverages. I think it's his ability to do that which gets his quarterback into some really good, comfortable situations that then allows the run game to open up. They have a really, really dynamic offensive line, obviously featured, you know, some of the best left tackle in the country and one of the best centers in the country. Obviously, their entire offensive line is really good. Running back being back has helped them control the clock and control the ground game. He does a really good job in blitz pickup. And then obviously the wide receivers are electric with their ability to utilize space, win in man-to-man and vertically down the field. I think their quarterback, again, is as good, if not better, than what other head coaches have been speaking about him, his ability to make off-scheduled plays, maneuver in the pocket, and be accurate with the football. There's zero doubt he knows how to attack cover two. He does a really good job at that, and then they're really good in the middle eight. So going to be a tough out on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, obviously, Coach Womack knows defense, knows how to defend us, did an excellent job last year. Multiple schemes, multiple fronts, multiple coverages, disguised pressure, has a really good feel for the game. You can tell he's been a former head coach. Just as a play caller, he understands the style of game that it's going to be and how to take away your best players and how to take away what you want to do. They have elite players at all three levels. They force takeaways and protect the ball. They play complementary football this year at a really high level. And then obviously special teams, there's a lot of variety of what they do in their punt scheme and in their return games. They're very sound and create explosives. So it's going to be a challenge, one that I think our team is excited about, looking forward to. I know our fans are excited. 11 a.m. kick will be ready to rock and roll. And then, you know, Caden Green will be listed as questionable this week. He did get some rehab reps yesterday. Really, the challenge will be to see where he is today and see how that progresses. Won't know for sure or for certain until the end of the week. So follow along closely to the SEC availability report and Pete Thamel tweets, and you'll know. So with that, I'll open it up for your questions.
We'll start with Eli. When you're getting ready for Alabama, how much did you look back at that week one game they had against Florida State and just what the Noles were able to do in that game as far as a blueprint?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a blueprint. I mean, you look at every game. We've looked at, you know, the beauty of the bye week is to look at every game that they've played from last year, really starting with us and how they tried to defend us and did an excellent job. And then you look to see if there's common themes that people have tried to exploit. Obviously, Coach Malzahn has his own type of system in place, which creates a little bit of a challenge to try to replicate what he did. But I think the biggest thing is to watch the jump from week one to weeks two, three, four, and really not even the same team. The way they played versus Wisconsin and Georgia and Vandy in comparison to week one, it looks like a totally different team. Obviously, I think getting the big man back in the middle, Keenan, I think he is a complete difference maker for them. And I think that was big for them on the defensive side of the ball. But you can just – they know who they are. And then I think the offense has been a little bit more complementary to what they're trying to do on the defense side of the ball too. So,
all right, that is Eli Drinkwitz from yesterday up in Como. All right, it's time to get to the break. When we come back, our Larry the Music Man segment, he's going to be joined – we'll be joined by Craig Reed, guitar tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd. As I said earlier, he was on the plane that fateful day in 1977 that crashed in the Mississippi swamp and took Ronnie Van Zant, Cassie Gaines, and Steve Gaines way too early. He went on to work tours with Foreigner, Double Vision, also Journey. So this is going to be an interesting rock and roll discussion coming up next on Larry the Music Man on the Gary Harris Show. Stay with us on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for...
That's 800-274-5104. What do you have to lose? Call 800-274-5104. Again, 800-274-5104.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Boise, Idaho.
I'll buy my limo driver, Mr. Take Us
to the show.
All right, 10:32, a Lynyrd Skynyrd classic welcomes us back into the Gary Harris Show. And that song, What's Your Name, just kind of, I think, encompassed what life on the road in a rock and roll band was like in the 1970s, Chase. I mean, you know, you're in one city, you roll into another city, you know, you have some fun, you move on, and you hope to have fun when you go back there that same time next year. All right, let's get Larry the Music Man on. Hey, good morning, Larry. How are you?
Gary, good morning. I'm really excited about this, and we're going to do two segments. We'll come back on next week. Kind of want to keep it in sequence and leave, maybe hold the questions on the crash till next week, since the anniversary will be the 20th. And there's also, Craig will tell everybody about what happens in McCombs, Mississippi on the 17th. And he will tell you that song was written for him, and I'll let him tell that story when he comes.
All right, well, let me set it up, and then to go ahead and punch Craig through, Chase. And as I said earlier, Craig Reed, guitar tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd from 73 to 77, was on the plane. We'll hold that conversation. But also then went on to work tours with Foreigner, Double Vision, with Journey, and so has an incredible amount of stories, I'm sure. So good morning, Craig.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for having me on this morning.
Great to have you on. Larry, go ahead and jump in and start your conversation with Craig.
Craig and I have been talking for the last couple of weeks and really struck up a good friendship. He's a cool dude. He's humble as crap. He won't take any credit for nothing. And he's going to tell the story. He's going to tell what he's doing now a little bit and then tell the story how he actually met Skynyrd and who set it up in Atlanta for him to get to where he was. And we'll get right to it, Craig. You just take it over, brother.
All right. Yeah, I guess I'll start out with what I've been doing here for the last 2.5 years. Last 2.5 years, I've been doing a podcast on YouTube called The Stoned Roadie Show. It all started, I was on Facebook, and my son got me on Facebook because he was on there, and he got on these all these Lynyrd Skynyrd forums, and he was arguing with these people. And my son Chad, he grew up with the guys, you know. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, all the guys wanted sons to have sons, and Alan and Ronnie, all they had was daughters, so they kind of took Chad under their wing. Chad's the one that was the little boy that was fighting with Ronnie there on the. You see videos of the little blonde-haired kid fighting with Ronnie all the time. That's my son, Chad. Well, he was on Facebook, and these people were spreading misinformation about Lynyrd Skynyrd, and he would get on there and try to straighten them out, and they would say, well, who the hell are you, you know? So he talked me into getting on there, and I started, you know, saying, hey, that's not the way this went down, And heck, I had a bunch of these so-called Lynyrd Skynyrd experts would ban me from their page and stuff because they wanted to be the experts. So I just kind of laid back and listened to all the BS. And then finally
you straightened them out, Craig, and they didn't like it, did they?
No. And finally people figured out that I who I was, and they were saying, well, why don't you write a book? I said, man, I ain't going to write no book. Everybody's written books and done movies, you know. And so this guy from Music Explorer magazine talked me into doing a podcast with him. So I agreed to that. And then he got COVID. This was, you know, a couple years ago, and almost died, I guess. And I have this friend, we call him Griff Martin, the rocket scientist. Well, he worked for NASA for 35 years. And he was in charge of taking the crawler out to the, or the space shuttle, the crawler, the one thing that took the space shuttle out to the launch pad. He actually was on the Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe, showing Mike Rowe how to grease the crawler. So anyway, we did a couple of podcasts, and people started going, God, you guys are going to be millionaires doing this podcast. What are you going to do with the money? And we just said, oh, we'll just donate it to the forgotten survivors, we call them, the people that were on the plane that are still suffering injuries from the plane crash. There's actually about 11 of us from the plane that are still alive, none of the band members except Artemis and Leslie. But there's five of them that are still have some significant injuries, so everybody agreed that, you know, we just give that money to the, what we did, we asked all the survivors, the 11 people, that because people started wanting to donate money to the show. And I said, man, I don't want to start that. And then I turned people down, and then I felt bad about it. And I said, well, you know, if people want to donate money, I'll just take the money and hold it and then divide it, you know, once there's enough to divide. So we've been doing that for the last 2.5 years, and we've actually taken up about $40,000 and divided it between the five recipients here in the last couple of years. So yeah, it's called the Stone Roadie Show, and it's on YouTube. And if you just type in Craig Reed, it'll pretty much come up, because we've done 325 podcasts.
Oh, wow.
So far. So yeah, we've done quite a few. So that's kind of what I've been doing the last 2.5 years. So we'll just go ahead and start asking them any kind of, we call it skin information you want to know. So yeah, go ahead.
Well, why don't you tell everybody how this thing got started, man? How you walked into this in this motel?
Well, yeah, I was I checked into the Holiday Inn in Kent, Ohio, where those shootings were, the Kent State shooting.
Oh Lord!
And so the lady at the front desk said, "Have you ever heard of the band The Who?" And I said, "Well, of course I have." And then she said, "Well, they're going to be right there in these rooms adjoining you." And I said, yeah, right, you know, whatever. So I drove around there, and here's just a Conline van pulling a U-Haul trailer. So I pulled up and parked, and I said, who are y'all that you guys playing in the hotel this weekend or something. They goes, we're Leonard Skinner. We just got off tour with The Who. And I went, oh, wow, cool. Well, that's where that lady came up with that. And Gary and Alan and Billy stuck their head around the corner and said, ask him if he's got anything to smoke, you know. So I did. So we got together, and that night we were sitting around watching Don Kirshner's rock concert or the Midnight Special or one of those. It was Friday night, December the 7th, 1973. Wow. And that's when that night was. So the next night they played in Kent State at the Kent State University. And then the following night they played in Akron, Ohio at the auditorium there. And then the night after that, they played in a place called the Smiling Dog Saloon in Cleveland. So I went to all three of those shows, and man, they were really good, you know. But when I left them in the Smiling Dog Saloon, it was snowing to like all get out, you know. And I helped them get their stuff in the guitars and stuff in the cars and everything. And that was the last time I thought I'd see him. I said, yeah, I'll maybe see you down the road somewhere or something, you know. So the next morning, Ed King called me and asked me if I might know where to get something to keep him awake for the road, for the drive down to Florida. I go, yeah, come on by. So Ed King, I think it was Ed and Bob and Leon were in a rental car, and they came in and Ed King said, you know, you've been hanging around for the last few days. You know, we're going to need some roadies here coming up. We're getting bigger. You think you might ever want a job? I goes, doing what? You know, so he said, you know, well, everybody likes you. You know, we can kind of train you to do things, you know, if you don't know anything about this kind of stuff. But you seem to now help us. You learn fast or whatever. So I said, yeah, whatever. So then I knew some woman in Florida, and she called me up and she goes, hey, you met Leonard Skinner, right? And I goes, yeah. And she goes, why don't you meet me in Atlanta? They're playing at Alex Cooley's ballroom for New Year's Eve. I goes, okay, yeah, I'll do that. So when I left my house, I packed a suitcase like I was going to actually go to work for these guys, you know? So, I mean, that was my mindset. So I went down there, and from getting into those shows and those three shows here, I kind of learned how to get in. So I got in and came up as they were playing and stuck my head up behind Ed King's amp. I said, hey, Ed, what's going on? So after the show was over, he actually went to Ronnie's room and said, hey, man, I want to hire this guy from Ohio, Craig Reed. Ronnie said, you mean that guy from Ohio? And Ed said, yeah. And he goes, well, he was a nice guy, but he's a Yankee. And I got all these friends I grew up with all my life. I told them we're going to work with me someday. And you want to hire some Yankee from Ohio? Have you lost your mind? And Ed said, man, I think he'd do good. And Ronnie said, well, okay, Ed, but he better, or I'm going to kick your butt. So I got in the truck with the other two roadies, Kevin and Joe, and rode back down to Jacksonville with those guys. And I was the first couple nights I stayed at the 8 Days Inn. That's where Ed King and Bob Burns were staying at the 8 Days Inn too. And it was $8 a day. So I stayed there a couple days. I'd gone out to the Hell House a couple times with them, but we would go back and we would stay at the 8 Days Inn. So the third night, they had to change every night. Somebody else would have to stay out there. So then it became Gary's turn. And Gary's going, I want to stay out here. And I went, well, hell, Gary, you know, I'm just staying in there at the Days Inn. I ain't doing nothing here. Hell, I can stay out here for you. He went, cool, you know. So Gary went out and lifted up a cow turd and pulled a psilocybin mushroom out from under it and gave it to me. And Ronnie handed me a .22 rifle and said, here, guard the place for the night. So then I just started staying out to the hell house, you know, after rehearsals, you know. And that was a wild place out there at night in the middle of a cow pasture. There was some bulls running around outside, and gators and snakes and everything else. And so then Joe Bryan Barnes and I drove the equipment truck out to Los Angeles after about couple weeks, and to record the second album at the record plant. And as soon as we got everything unloaded and the band were in there with Al Cooper, I kind of was just walking outside and was going out the door, and John Lennon came walking in with Malpu or whatever her name was, I keep forgetting. But I looked at John, I went, do you know who you are? And he thought that was funny. But he went into the control room where Al Cooper was, and so I said a few words to him, and the band looked in and saw it was John Lennon, and he left, and the band came in and said, was that John Lennon? And Al said, yeah. And he goes, man, we got to take a break. So they went out kind of looking for John Lennon, and everybody said, well, John asked me to go to, if I wanted to go to, he came out and said, hey, you want to go to brunch with us? I goes, yeah. So I walked across the street to this little restaurant that was over there, and the band came walking out looking for John Lennon, and the people were going, oh, he just went across the street to that restaurant. I think he took one of your roadies with him.
All right, guys, let me break in a second here, Craig, because we, with the radio, we got to get a break in. But Craig Reed, okay, sharing some experiences, how he got on the road with Lynyrd Skynyrd and got to meet John Lennon. How cool was that? Or we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We also have a couple of phone callers that want to get through. Larry the Music Man segment with Craig Reed, roadie and guitar tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd, and telling some great stories. We'll be right back. As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
205-759-7561. And let's get you standing tall again. Neurosurgery of West Alabama. Because life's too short to walk like a question mark.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:50. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We've got Larry the Music Man on for his segment, and we're talking with Craig Reed, roadie and guitar tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd. Man, some great stories, but we got to get to some phone calls, guys, so before we run out of time here. So let's start with Cowboy. Pull and punch him through. Hey, Cowboy, you're on with Larry the Music Man and Craig Reed.
Hey, Craig, great to hear you. I love your stories. Maybe you got those guys some of those truck driver peels or something, I remember, you know. could you give us a little background, if you know it, on how the Sweet Home Alabama song was made or derived?
Well, yeah, it was done at the Hell House, and I actually wasn't there, so I don't like to talk about things that I was actually there, but I'm pretty sure the story that I'm about to tell is correct, that Gary and Ronnie were sitting in the Hell House, and Gary was playing this lick, and Ed King had pulled up, and he had just pulled out the Stratocaster that he had just got, and Gary was just playing this lick, and Ronnie kept melody, and Ronnie kept going, you know, just keep playing, and Ed walked in and plugged in his Strat, and he just kind of went dun, 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 you know, and Ronnie sat back and his eyes popped open. He kept keep going, and Ronnie just, you know, that's how the song started. So it started with Gary, and the Ed came in with that, you know, noticeable. That noticeable Alabama thing, you know. So.
Craig, that's awesome. Yeah, Cowboy, I'm going to interject here because I want to address this with the Neil Young line. I hope Neil Young will remember, a Southern man don't need him around anyhow. And certainly, a lot of people took that as a diss toward Neil Young for his song about, you know, the Southern man. But in truth, Craig, Lynyrd Skynyrd liked Neil Young's music. Am I right there?
Well, yeah, it was one time. Ronnie said, Craig, read this stuff here. And I started reading it now, all this stuff. And it was supposed to be songs. I says, man, Ronnie, they say somebody sent this to me. And I goes, man, Ronnie, is somebody messing with you or something? And he goes, I was thinking the same thing. I said, do you know who sent me this? He says, Neil Young. And it was just some bizarre stuff. I said, I don't know what to tell you, Ronnie. And he the next album that Neil came out with was a real bizarre kind of thing. I don't exactly remember what it was, but it was a real strange thing. But they were in contact. Neil and Ronnie were, yeah, they were in contact. I wouldn't call them friends, but they were in contact, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll say this, and thank you, Larry, for having him on. And one last thing, I saw where, you know, you're talking about you being a Yankee with a Southern band, but I saw where y'all had some of your greater shows, like out in Northern California. I saw one on YouTube from 76 in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. It's just awesome. Expand on some of those California shows back in the day of... You know, when,
yeah, we did Day on the Green out there.
Thank you, boy.
We did Day on the Green out there, and then we did the California Jam out there. And then, you know, that's where Bill Graham was out there with Winterland. And those were some really good shows, although they weren't big shows because Winterland isn't a big place. But, yeah, we did all those stuff. But Bill Graham did some big shows. We did a lot of shows for Bill Graham for New Year's Eve. One in particular where there's a couple where he had all these. He was always known for putting on these really great shows with all these visual effects early on. And one time they had it all set up where Artemis got up in the center of the building and rode down in an airplane and landed on the stage and you know, right at midnight and stuff. Yeah, those were all some really good shows. That was an indoor show, but yeah, the California Jam and the Day on the Green, yeah, those were some big ones, yeah.
All right, great story there. Thanks for that call, Cowboy. Let's bring Larry back on, Larry, because we got about 2.5 minutes left, so I want you to wrap up for this week with Craig and then kind of tease next week.
Okay, Craig, well, Gary, one thing Craig didn't tell me, and I didn't know this, he started out as a drum tech. He started out as the drum tech for Bob Burns and later Artemis, and then walked right into the guitar thing. The guy has really, it's like, Jesus. I mean, Bob Burns is one of my all-time favorites, of course, Artemis, too. And he set not only did he tweak the drum, he set them up. And because I'm, as a drummer, asked him, did they come behind you and say no? No, he said, man, I set them up and they liked them. It was the same way every time. So I thought that was cool.
Awesome, but, awesome.
There's a lot to tell. He hadn't even got into the guitar part.
Yeah, yet. I want to get into post Lynyrd Skynyrd too. And of course, obviously, we'll address the crash next week, and then you know, the tours of Foreigner and Journey, which are pretty impressive as well.
That was interesting. We talked. Yeah, there's a lot to tell about.
And I'm sorry that we had to leave some callers hanging. Again, we will we'll have another segment next week, so we'll pick back up. And Craig, man, listen, we just kind of scratched the surface. You know how this works, though, since you're doing some media stuff, especially on a radio station. We have to hit breaks. We have to hit time. We have to get out. But we'll have more fun with you next week, man.
Okay, buddy. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Larry. Okay, we appreciate it. Gary. And we might try to, you know, we got on pretty close to time. I might try to hit a little early next week, Chase. Maybe we can hit about 10:25 or so to have a little more time. All right. Sorry that we couldn't get to some other callers, but we got to get the show wrapped up. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Gary Harris Show. And enjoy the Larry the Music Man segment. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Our guests will include the coach, Ellis Johnson, as well as D. Orlando Ledbetter with the Falcons report. So we'll talk to you then. Catch me on TV tonight with local sports on WVUA 23. The Miller's Edge with Kristen Miller and Corey Miller, the Pastor Payne. Coming up next right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. So for Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Have a great Thursday, everybody. Or Thursday to tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday today.